You may not know this unless you're into reading a lot of news stories, but this day Pope Francis has set aside for the whole church to once again embrace the Word of God, to embrace the Scriptures. It's really not just a way to say today we need to focus on the Scriptures and then we can kind of ignore it the rest of the year. It's kind of like to remind us that the Scriptures are a part of our faith journey. Now, that may sound a little strange to talk about that, but in our Catholic tradition, one of the challenges has been that we haven't done that well in terms of helping people break open the Scriptures and read the Bible. It's not that we said it wasn't important. It's just that, you know, our tradition has had so much emphasis on receiving the sacraments and almost very little emphasis on actually not just reading the Scriptures, but as St. Paul said, to let the Word of Christ dwell in our hearts, you know? And actually, over the years, especially with the Second Vatican Council, we've tried to, you know, write that balance. I mean, it was kind of out of whack for a long time. You know, it's a little hard growing up if you were my age or older and you went to Mass when it was in Latin, kind of hard to let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you when it was read in Latin, unless you really were fluent in Latin, and not many people I knew were. And besides that, now, some of you remember, this is in the Catechism, there were the three principal parts of the Mass. Remember the catechism class? Remember them talking about the three principal parts of the Mass? The collection? No, that's a joke. No, it's... No. The three principal parts of the Mass. The offertory, the consecration, and communion. Those were the three principal parts of the Mass. Well, you know, in you know, that became the thing that if you really did you fulfill your obligation by going to Mass on Sunday, if you got there for the three principal parts of the Mass. Well, I mean, the whole first part of the Mass that had to do with the liturgy of the Word, that just kind of got whopped off. and it's like, It's not like we said, well, that wasn't important, but in essence, we did, and I'm not saying that this is bad, but you know, because there's a lot of good stuff in it. Like, we have so emphasized communion and the sacraments, receiving communion as the preeminent thing. That we've forgotten how important the Word was. You know, I mean, I just think about this. We have people that take communion to the elderly who can't come, and that's a wonderful thing. It really is. We don't get too many requests for somebody to say, "Would you come and share the Scriptures with me?" Which is just a reminder of kind of how out of whack this is. And so, and along with that, because as Catholics, we haven't grown up in this, in the tradition of understanding the Bible and reading the Bible, we easily get intimidated by other people who have read the Scriptures. You know, somebody can come up and says, Have you read Matthew 4:16? You know what that says? And we say, no. Well, I do. And then we go away and we think, they must be really holy. Or the one that I always like is, I've read the Bible all the way through, 3 times. Have you read the Bible all the way through? No. You must really be holy. Now, they may be holy, they may be, but all you can really tell from that is they got a lot of endurance. Because I got to tell you, there are some parts of the Bible, like you go read some of the books of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. I mean, it's like reading the phone book. Really. I mean, you read all that stuff through and keep, you know, and not go to sleep. I mean, you got endurance on your side, you know. Now, so we're trying to write this, and so for Catholics to just say, well, how do you break open the scriptures and how do you pray with them? It's like those are kind of foreign terms, and so we almost assume that since we've not done it, we can't do it, and we don't know what you're supposed to do. But really, what we really believe about the scriptures is that when we say the words of scripture are inspired, what we mean is that God is present with us in the scriptures. Now, I just want to point some things out. I do this, and please, I'm not saying this to offend anybody, but you know, I love all of our readers. They do, they come up here and they do a wonderful job, but how many times have you seen the person finish the reading and then turn around and go? And for people who are Catholic, they say, what's the matter with that? That's the tabernacle. That's where... That's where Jesus is. And we say, yes. But do we believe that Jesus is here? That's what we are proclaiming. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Would it make as equal sense for us to bow here? You know? Interestingly enough, I've never told people that when they come up to read that they ought to bow to the tabernacle. I've never told people to do that. Never. But a lot of them do it. And it comes because we got this imbalance. It's not like, my goodness. Now don't go away and say he doesn't like the Eucharist. No. It's not that at all. It's just that what we have failed to do is embrace the scriptures and to realize that God speaks to all of us there. And that when we have the courage to listen, that God can speak to us. And so we say, well, now, how does that happen? How do you do that? Well, I don't know how to do all that. Well, let me just give you a for instance. Remember the psalm response? I don't know if you remember it from today. They sang the words, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? It's from the psalm, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, to pray with the scriptures, if you hung on to anything today, this week, just as you're driving by, just driving to work, coming home, you know, think, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I be afraid? Now, if we sit with that for a while, And we say, well, who would be our light? Who would be the thing that we would look to guide us in our life? Who would be the anchors? And we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's a challenging thing because, you know, where we're at on our journey is when we're young, because of who we are and in the circumstances in which we live, we sort of grow up feeling like, well, we're in charge. And my anchor is my own ability to make life work the way I want it to work. And we sort of grow up that way, you know. And it's only when we almost face something, we say, well, this is bigger than me. Something that I can't make right. You know, the death of a loved one, the death of a little kid, an unexplained illness, you know. And when our world gets shattered, if you will, and we say, well, what are our anchors now? And what do we say here? The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then we say, of whom should I be afraid? Well, just sit with that and say, what is it that causes fear and anxiety in your life? You know, the job that I don't know that I'm going to have anymore, what am I going to do then? What happens if my health insurance doesn't cover this? You know, what happens if I'm not there to take care of my kid when they grow older? What are the things that cause anxiety and fear? And then we go back and we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? You know, sometimes when we say that, we can say it and believe it maybe 1% of the time. And sometimes we can say it, and because nothing really is unsettling in our life, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we believe that. Yeah, big deal. You know, so what? And then other times when we've kind of been knocked around in life and going around the block a few times, and we say, you know, I know that this is going to turn out okay. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. And we say, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to believe. And so we get up, and when all the fears come, we take a deep breath and we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? And that gets us through another day. And maybe the next day, we got to do it again. And the next day, we got to do it again. This is what it means to let the Word of God take deep root in our heart. This is what it means to let these words strengthen us, feed us, give us courage and life. That's what we're all about. And that's really what it means if we were going to use the term, that's what it means to receive the Word of God, just as much as receiving communion. To receive the Word of God, that God is with us, that God is with us, that God is for us. That's way beyond, you know, learning how to quote different passages, or way beyond, you know, reading every book in the Bible. Those things, you know, it's not like those things are bad. You know, there are a lot of things you can do in life that are really bad, and reading the scriptures all the way through is not one of them. But beyond that, to let the Word of God speak to us, to let God speak to us through this and let it guide us and give us strength in our journey.